You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carborough. Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, is coming up right now as we sit here and listen to Claudio. Take it away.
What? I'm on already?
You're on already.
I was hoping you were going to stretch that.
Pay attention.
Good morning, Carborough, the Big Chill, and World Wide Web, whoever's tuning us in. This is Pirate Radio coming at you, fresh off the banana boat. We've got an interesting show coming up today. I've got Anjanae Bell with Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre. See, I got it right. Sitting here in the studio, and she's going to tell us about a performance coming right up on Saturday, this Saturday, at the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, which is also a sponsor of my radio show here. So big shout-out to Carolina Theatre of Durham. Check out their website for all the upcoming events. But the big one is going to be Bellin Dance, or shall I say Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre.
Yes.
With Anjanae Bell as choreographer, and she will also be dancing, as a matter of fact, going to be dancing with somebody that formerly danced in Pelopolis. Might I give their name?
Gaspar Louis.
Ah, wah, Frenchman. So I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to that show. Hope to see anyone listening there. And please let me know that you listen to the radio show if you do show up. Anyway, I just wanted to give a big shout-out to Carolina Theatre, and since we're touching on theatre, I thought I would convey a little bit of theatrical logic to confuse absolutely everybody out there. This is what I have to put up with when I'm working on stage. This is terminology. In is down, and down is front. Out is up, and up is back. On is in, and off is out. And, of course, left is right, and right is left. What would you expect? A drop shouldn't, and a block and fall does neither. A prop doesn't, and a cove has no water. Takes me back to my sailing days. No water in that cove. Wait a minute. Tripping is okay. A running crew rarely gets anywhere. A purchase line will buy you nothing. A trap will not catch anything. A gridiron has nothing to do with football. A strike is work. In fact, a lot of work. Anybody out there knows that. And a green room, thank God, usually isn't. Now that you are fully versed in theatrical terms, break a leg. But not really.
Maybe that's what's been the mix-up in my life. I've been living it according to stage directions.
That could be. Boy, you must be falling around all over the place.
Right.
And I just added this little footnote. Now, if you really want to add to this confusion, become a sailor and go aft and fore and port and starboard. And it'll have you doing backflips on a hard surface in a straitjacket. I know. I've been there. And I've seen how you look. So that's that note. That's the theatrical. And on that note, I also want to acknowledge Studio in the Woods, which is coming out with a new Rusty Bucket Kids Club movie that I'm privileged to play the mystical navigator conductor in. That's going to be released on the 21st and 22nd of this month for the Apex Film Festival, and then is soon to be a television series. And we're going to have on the director, his son and daughter who play the key parts, as well as the musician, singer who sings the soundtrack. Both the beginning for the beginning of the film and while you're watching the credits in the end. That's going to be on the show here, The Speakeasy, next week. So tune us in and you'll get the whole scoop on that, and maybe we'll see you at the film festival. We're also going to have Jerry Mathers, who is part of this film company, The Beaver, is going to be showing up, and I'm told that I may be handing him an award. So I've got to get a tuxedo to do all this business.
Find you in a tux.
Yeah, right. I'll have to call David. Get a shot while you can, because this won't happen again. But on that note, I want to go over to a wonderful guest whom I've had the pleasure of having on here before. She is the daughter of Mr. Bell, the mayor of Durham, who has just won election again. So congratulations. How long ago was that? I haven't been keeping up with politics.
Just
quite
a week.
Recent. A week?
Yes.
A week ago. Wow. Anyway, he's somebody I would love to have on my show, and we don't have to touch on talking politics. We can just be two regular Joes having at it. And on that note, I'm going to be speaking to his daughter, Anjanae Bell, about her dance company, her upcoming dance, and all things Bellin Dance. And here we go. The microphone is yours. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to be here. And this
good
is our second.
On.
Yes, this is our second time.
That's right.
So the first time was a blast.
Absolutely. And you're still archived, so they can still witness the old show.
Yes.
It's on the archive. This show will actually be on podcast for anybody that cares to download it. And I'm being told to back off the microphone. Why am I here? this one will be podcast, and it's on the World Wide Web as well, so you can point people to it from anywhere. It's downloadable. There are no policing The shows are totally poetic license for anybody wanting to download them out there.
Absolutely.
Just don't do weird things to my voice.
We have the agreement of all our artists.
Absolutely. WCOM. And we are going to bring in Rocco to discuss WCOM a little later in the show and to give us the history. We're also having today's session is being documented by documentary artist David Persoff and
Alan Julek,
who is assisting him on this, and they're filming this for a documentary film studies class at Duke University. Am I right in all this? Good. I didn't even have that written down. So this is being broadcast in more ways than one, but I wanted to see Bell and Dance get its best coverage anyway. So that's everybody we have in the studio here today. A lot going on, and again, as I said, later on I'm going to have on Rocco, the one and only who has his music show on weekends. Audrey, tell us when his show comes on.
Comes on Saturday from 9 to 12, mm-hmm. Saturday Morning Music Hall.
If you like good tunes, old or new, any influence, really, any musical influence, Rocco's got it.
Absolutely. It's also followed by a great show, Fred Wasser in Breathing Room, so it just carries it on.
Wonderful.
We've got a great roundup on Saturdays and all our days.
One of these days I'll sneak in on a Saturday and just hang out.
Absolutely.
So, well, just when you thought you were going to get a chance to speak, we took the mic again.
It's okay.
This time you can. Tell us about what's coming up and what you've been up to.
Well, I've been up to a lot.
I can imagine. You look exhausted.
No, she does not.
Well, wonderful thing to say, isn't it?
Daisy.
Well, we've been really busy getting ready for the performance that we have coming up at the Carolina Theater this Saturday, November 14th at 8 o'clock.
And there's a reception at 6 p.m.
There's a gala at 6 o'clock, and so we're really excited about that. It just gives people an opportunity to experience Balon at many different levels, not just the stage.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what I stressed, and that's what I think we talked about the first time. Mm-hmm. About Balon being, you know, more than dance and it being about culture and about the experience. And so it's really important for me as an artist to make sure that the theatrical experience is complete. And so for me, that starts when you walk on the pavement up to the theater to purchase your ticket or just to walk into the lobby. So if you come to the performance this weekend, or even if you're driving by downtown Durham, which is spectacular, you will be able to have a taste of the Balon experience, even without going into the theater.
So come on in, the water's fine.
Balon?
Balon is B-E-L-L-A-N.
Okay.
Balon Contemporary Dance Theater.
Give us the website and how they can get in touch.
If anyone wants to get in touch, you can go to www.BellonArts.org. And you can check out our website and have lots of good information there and information about the performance and what we do.
And if you forget that, you can always go to my website, ClaudioArts.com, and I'll let you know. I'll link you up. But we will go over that again throughout the show, just so people can remember that. But
definitely.
We really do want to encourage people to go and see this performance coming up on Saturday of Bell and Dance. And you said that the show has no particular title. It's just...
No, you know, I just... For me, it's really about the company and just really exposing Balon Contemporary Dance Theater to the community. And so a way that I found to be important is not necessarily giving it one particular theme. I enjoy exploring many different topics, and so I would say if I had to box it in, it's about life, relationships, balance, movement.
Vignettes on life somehow.
Yes, it is. But, you know, overall, it's about a complete experience, and it's whatever it is to you as an individual sitting in that chair. I mean, it's for the smallest performer who may not get all of the extensive meaning of the movement and will just enjoy it purely for the look of lighting and costumes and seeing other young people on stage. Mm-hmm. So I think... For me, it's just most important to just stress the human experience, and that is very different at different levels, age and environment.
I can see that, yeah. So go in there and just soak up your own vibe. That's
exactly
essentially how it plays back. It'll communicate something to everybody, no doubt about that. I know that my late friend Marcel Marceau used to tell me very much the same thing when I asked him about his performances. He had titles to his pieces, but that was more for the public to give them something to identify with because they needed it somehow.
Yes.
And he actually also had this wonderful way of sending out a menu to the audience with the titles of all the pieces that he would perform, and he would take it by vote who wanted what pieces done, and that's what he would perform that night, which I thought was a wonderfully original idea.
Wonderful. Yes. I mean, I guess I guess that's easier.
I think it was just a lifetime of doing it, and people saw him as a storyteller, you know, communicating in silence. But nonetheless, I mean, his influences were Charlie Chaplin, the Three Stooges, and you know, people of that genre. And so his strength was in not speaking, in conveying so many ways. And so his idea was, okay, I'm telling stories, so here are the titles.
And that's beautiful.
And usually dancers would come out on stage with the title before he came out on stage to pantomime them. So I'm sensing a similarity here.
It is. And, you know, especially this time around with our efforts to, one, be a green company in terms of just kind of eliminating a lot of the paper, trying to do some really different things in terms of keeping the audience plugged into what's going on. In 2007, when we initially began performing at the Carolina Theater, and that's when we established the foundation, an accident happened where our program didn't get to the theater in time.
Oh, no.
And it was, you know, I always believe everything happens the way that...
A blessing of sorts?
Yeah, it was a blessing of sorts, and everything happens the way it should.
So tell us what happened.
Because what ended up happening at the end, it was very interesting to hear the responses of the audience. A lot of them felt it was an experience for them. The fact that, you know, they were much more engaged, they had to pay attention. And the message was... And I felt as an artist, the message was clear for them. They understood. And some felt very surprised at how much they understood. And they were able to give titles to each one of the pieces themselves.
Oh, so they didn't, essentially,
they
didn't have a program guide.
They didn't have anything.
They
had nothing to guide them. So they really had to sit there and be along for the ride. And, you know, from that blessing, I mean, it's kind of moved everything that I've done to this point, even this for this recent performance. Like last year, we did have a physical program, and we did have the titles of the pieces. But this time around, I would like to find the balance of allowing people still to have that experience instead of having that physical program that we, you know, sometimes we all want to know, oh, well, what is that about? Instead of the journey. And so what we do with Balan is about the journey. It's about the experience. It's about reviving culture, and not just spoon feeding. You know, and I
which
always,
is a good idea. Television does plenty of that.
Yeah, it does. And you know, and as a result, you know, we're culturally starved. You know, as a society, and that's, you know, I feel like, especially going to the theater. You know, going to the theater is such a powerful experience.
It makes you part of the event.
Yes, it does. And, you know, from feeling like dressing up in your finest attire and, you know, you're making an evening of it, whether you're going, you know, with your significant other or family and friends. I mean, it's just, the theater should just be so much a part of what we do as culture and so much a part of young people and their lives and education. And with Balan, what makes it so unique is because we're multi-generational, and because when I founded this company, it was for the premise of exposing young people to quality arts in an effort to enrich their lives, to refine, and just broaden their horizons in terms of what's possible. You know, it wasn't necessarily that everyone was going to be a dancer and everyone was going to be an artist in the sense. But we truly all are creative. We're all artists. We all dance.
We may take that creativity entirely for granted, but nonetheless it's there in movement, in gesture, in the simplest things. Yeah.
Yes, and so I truly, you know, find great value in performance in the theater because being on the platform of the stage, you command attention with your presence. And in that moment, you're teaching, you're educating.
Very much so.
And so you have a responsibility when you're on the stage. And that's something that I constantly reinforce with the young people and the adults that I work with.
It's not just about look at me. As a matter of fact, it's
exactly
in the very least about that.
And you know, and I was actually just saying that a couple of days ago at rehearsal. You know, I had to tell my dancers, it's not about me as a choreographer. It's not about you as a dancer. It's about this entire vision, this entire picture, and how each one of us plays a part.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not just to smile for mommy and daddy, you know, just because they're in the, you know, front row or wherever they are in the theater. It's about a bigger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can teach that to the smallest being, then I've done a great thing. And so, you know, and it's funny because it's something that you just learn when you're in it. You don't, like, I never imagine when I think of myself years ago, you know, I mean, my mother would say, oh, Angenée, you don't have the patience to work with little kids. And, you know, I mean, you know, you just, you know, you hear those things and you know, and so you start to possibly doubt yourself. But over time and over teaching in schools and working with adults, you know, and working with little children, I did find patience. I found a certain strength that I knew I enjoyed.
It's a strength that you can't really find or explore until you're immersed in it.
Yes, until
you're
in it.
You can't theorize
it. Yes, and you can't. And so a lot of, you know, what some may view as mistakes or mishaps, they've been blessings. I mean, it just, where I am, you know, I think of where I am today, approaching Saturday, November 14th, and where I was in 2007. I mean, it's like night and day. I mean, the vision is clearer. The purpose is so, it's stronger, and I'm so much more driven, and especially about the stage and how it impacts young people.
And all because you've been working it.
And all because
you've been exercising that muscle, so to speak.
And if I could live in the theater, if the Carolina Theater would just allow me just
I
to,
do occasionally
just to be
live there.
There. If they would just allow me, you know, at least a month or so just to create and explore. I mean, it's just such, it's such a magnificent place to be.
It is. It's a great environment for
me. I mean, the arts completely, you know, like, you know, right now, you know, we're in front of a camera, but even behind the camera, I mean, that's just mm-hmm. that's a different process.
Well, there's almost so much more that goes on behind.
It is.
I think I've often thought, given shows that I've worked on, and they've all had their merits, but there are, on several occasions, I thought that what went on backstage to make the show happen was more interesting than the show.
It is.
And it's mm-hmm. never seen.
It's never seen. And hopefully, with David's help, you know.
We're twisting David Persoff's arm here.
That's one thing, you know, that will happen. Because, you know, every time, you know, every day, I'm faced with, you know, another challenge and something that is truly my test of if I'm going to go forward or. And going backwards really isn't an option for me.
Mm-hmm.
But how I proceed forward. I mean, I'm so surprised. I get so surprised.
Taking on new challenges and mm-hmm. being explored by the challenge and discovering mm-hmm. new elements you didn't even realize you could bring mm-hmm. bring forth.
Yeah. And it is. It's one of those things that sometimes, you know, people are just like, oh, well, you know, you should be able to multitask and you should be able to cut it off or you should be able to, you know, put it aside for this moment. And, you know, I like it to giving birth, you know, I mean, and when you're carrying a child, you know, when life is being formed inside of you, it's not something that you cut off. I mean, you're constantly aware that this powerful thing is happening and it's a part of you.
You've got to grow with it.
And you have to grow with it, and you change with it, and you evolve. And then when that moment comes for that life to be presented to the world, then that's another phase that you go through. And then when it's out in the world, you still have a responsibility to nurture. And although you know, you may not control it completely, you still have this responsibility to direct and to guide until it can sustain itself. And so it's the same thing with this company.
And you never stop remaining.
You never stop.
Being an influence.
No, you never stop. And so it's the same thing with this process. I would love for people to see what it takes to do this, to see the background, because there's so many things, so many small things that are involved that help us get to the stage, that will push us forward to a touring company, mm-hmm. that, you know, people sometimes they don't understand because they see the production and they think it's easy and, you know, and they take things
well,
for granted. And
the
it's
whole
not.
Thing, the whole thing is built and presented on the basis of
yes.
of making the almost impossible look simple.
Yes, and it and it's not.
No.
It's not.
No, no.
Not at
I always thought
all.
It would be a wonderful idea to create a situation of what goes on backstage by creating dance movement or whatever that might suggest the labor of technicians
yeah.
in putting something together and then finally coming to the actual 10 minutes of a show they present to show
uh-huh.
you what went into that 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a whole show. Just show the energy and the time that went
yeah.
into the 10 minutes you're going to see at the end.
You know, and that's so true. I mean, you know, you don't... And you don't even understand your production until it goes to the theater. I mean, you think you have some things in mind, and I always say that. You know, people have been asking, well, how are you doing? How's the production going? And I always tell them, I won't know until Wednesday, until I load in. I mean, you know, that because that's the reality when you bring the other elements to the table, that's when you know where you stand as an artist. That's when you know if you have a viable product.
When you know how the shoe fits, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful that while being in the Carolina Theater, that I have had such an amazing team. I mean, I've had people on this project that have been with us since 2007. New people were introduced to the project this past May, and they have just been tremendous. I mean, they are so much a part of this process. Stephen Dupour, who,
yes,
such a talented young person.
Some folks are actually giving a shout out to the Carolina Theater
yes.
staff itself right now, not just her team.
You know, and it is. I mean, and that's one thing I had to learn. Because Youth was about Anjanae. Youth said, it's all about me and how I impact this project. But as I grew, as I became wiser, and as I truly wiser as an artist, then I understood it was about sharing. It was about the collaboration. It was about letting go a piece of the dream to inspire others. And so it changed for me. And ever since I'm, you know, in this past performance, bringing in, you know, a lighting team, which for me is so critical to the, mm-hmm. You know, the extension of the voice, Michael Pryle, who has been with me for, years, has just been a tremendous force as well. I mean, he's someone that I was able to communicate a vision and let him go. You know, that's how I love to collaborate. I don't like to sit and hold hands in terms of, you know, trying to micromanage a project.
And you don't want to lock
you
them
know,
into a singular perception either.
No, yeah. Because they're artists. And I want them right. to be just as free and liberated as how I feel. You know, and I've been fortunate to have individuals come to the table with a strong sense of themselves as artists.
Mm-hmm.
But also how they can contribute to the birth and the existence of Balon Contemporary Dance Theater and how it fits into the cultural landscape of Durham, which, you know, amazingly, you know, it's a wonderful thing with the Durham Performing Arts Center that has just come about and just the great strides that has brought.
The place is evolving leaps and bounds.
It is,
doubt.
You know, and it's amazing. You know, it was this past summer, American Dance Festival was there and performing, you know, and that was really interesting because it's such a massive stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested to see how dance translated on that stage as a potential place for Balon in terms of larger works. And it's amazing. I mean, Durham is growing by leaps and bounds, the triangle. I mean, it's wonderful to be a part of that energy.
In one way, it's absolutely wonderful. In another way, I kind of want to keep a little bit of the space for ourselves. And everybody wants to live here all of a sudden.
I know. And yes, and it makes it extremely difficult when you're trying to get a little piece of that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, Balon, we're still trying to find space. You know, and that's an interesting process because you know when you're trying to find any home and you know it has to work, it has to feel right, and you have to be a visionary because especially in this day and time when you have leases and agreements that you have to stick to.
Yes,
you want to make sure that it's a right fit for you, and so we've been fortunate enough to be able to have Durham Parks and Rec be involved in our project and allowing us to have space. And that is just, that's been a wonderful thing that they've allowed us to have space since our previous performance. And this upcoming performance is truly a test.
Let's give you a chance to hold your breath, because I don't want to exhaust you too much. Just want to remind folks out there. This is WCOM 103.5 FM coming at you from Claudio Speakeasy, or actually this is Claudio Speakeasy coming at you from WCOM. The literary and all else, in case you're wondering. So if you haven't caught the philosophical bent on all this yet, you haven't been listening. And we have the wonderful Anjanae Bell of Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre on with us today. I have David Persoff in the studio behind the camera for a documentary footage he's putting together for a study of, let me get this right, a class on documentary studies at Duke University. I also have his assistant. Your name again, please?
Alan.
Julik. How do you spell that?
J-U-L-I-C-H.
J-U-L-I-C-H, German.
Jülich,
okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And, of course, my lovely co-host, who's kind enough to be here with me again this this week, and who I've put
to the... It's always great fun, Claudio.
Who I've put to the test this morning by having you up way before your normal time to get these artists in here. But Audrey Layden, she's with me. And Audrey, of course, tell them about your own show.
Yes, I've got a show on Monday mornings called Carborough Bookbeat, and we bring in authors... Anybody that has anything to do with the written word, authors, poets, publicists, magazine, people who put together the magazines you find out being given away for nothing.
And Audrey says she's getting way too many books. I'm teasing.
I'm getting way too many books for anybody to tell me where I can get more books.
I came in this morning and I showed her a discount company and she looked at me and she says, Claudia, this is what I do. No, don't.
I am in hog heaven because people just send me books to read. And
which is wonderful.
With the idea of putting them on the show.
That's what happened to me last week.
Yeah. We've got somebody good coming up. We've always got somebody good coming up. But coming up this coming Monday, we have Bill Ferris, who's written a book called Give My Poor Heart Ease, and it's all about the Delta Blues.
Oh, right.
He's with the Institute for the Study of the American South or something like that.
So going back to the Big Muddy.
Yes, and it's got he's got a CD with the book. He's got a DVD with the book.
Fantastic.
And it's just excerpts of what interviews and photos and things that he has taken since the late 60s and early 70s.
Well, I'd love to borrow that DVD sometime.
Everybody wants that.
I'm putting myself on the list.
I want some way to ask him if I can make copies of it somehow.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to get his permission, I'm sure. But it's just watching this and reading it, you are getting to know the people, the reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And somebody taking a string, and not a string, a wire, and hammering it to his wall of his cabin, bringing it down, showing how he wedges a rock in to get the right tension, and he plays one string music.
Oh, my God.
Somebody else with a broom, and he's scraping the handle of the broom across the floor to make the music. Human beings, see this and you bless the human race.
Back to the native soil of where
it's
it really
gorgeous,
comes from.
Yeah. Anyway.
And on that note, I would like to
reinforcing arts everywhere.
Absolutely. You see, you didn't know you were doing it, did you?
Exactly.
Keep plucking that string and
before you know it. It's in our souls.
It's wonderful.
Like Anjanae said, we're all creative. Mm-hmm. We all have a lot to give.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We don't realize some of our best moments are completely taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I know David Persoff had a request of you and I, Anjanae, discussing very briefly our collaboration next year of Mud in Your Eye, the piece I wrote about Hurricane Katrina wiping out New Orleans. Now, might I let you lead off on that since you have choreographical ideas here? Or it's a poem.
Let's let you lead off on that one.
Well, it's essentially, I wrote this while the whole thing was happening. I was absolutely appalled at what was going on in New Orleans, along with the governmental response. So I'm not friendly to politicians in the work, but it is not locked in on that theme entirely at all. It is the perspective of a fellow having a drink in a bar, watching the whole Hurricane Katrina event go down. And it was performed to music that I got from the wonderful Jim Beckwith, a jazz artist, who has a very strong East Indian influence as well, and knows the whole blues scene very well. So it was wonderful to have him record that with me. But I let Anjane hear that the last time we were on the radio together. I didn't actually have the recording with me, although I think I've sent it to you since. Good. So I recited some of it from memory, which I'm not sure I'm going to do right now because I don't really want to get into so much of that, as my curiosity lies with what Anjane has in mind on the choreography or however you're going to interpret.
Yes, you know, I'm so excited about that project. I mean, when we first started talking about it, when I was on the radio show the last time, I mean, one, because of the fact that my family is from New Orleans.
Yes.
And from Louisiana. So it's the close attachment. And also because at that time that Katrina happened, I was living outside of the country. So for me, I got to witness.
Where were you?
I was actually in Cuernavaca, Mexico at the time.
Goodness.
Yes, I was in Cuernavaca living and watching it on a television screen.
Yeah.
And I was very appalled, to say the least, at what I was seeing of my country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited about this piece in a number of ways. One, because I just imagine the power of the word and the power in the music and all of the different in the movement and just all of the diverse elements coming together for this remarkable experience and a time to enlighten. And I don't think, although Katrina is something that happened in the past, it's something I think is still present with us today in terms of how we handle our home front.
Absolutely.
I
wrote
and
it
once
with
again,
much of that in
yes,
mind.
And it's just about, once again, the human spirit and the condition and how we value one another in an effort to bring about resolve and some sense of peace. And I mean, New Orleans has come back, but it's
nowhere
still
near back.
It's just nowhere.
I'm afraid George Bush proved to be a liar in all of that.
You know, so I'm very excited to be able to collaborate in the sense of this project and seeing how movement can be an extension of the power of what you've written.
Absolutely. And even when I wrote it, I wrote it even though it was a way for me to channel some a great anger I was feeling. At the same time, I wanted to take it and make it creative. But at the time of writing it, I knew that the only way this could be conveyed would be in voice and movement,
mm-hmm.
because on its own, it's almost too dark.
Mm-hmm.
However, with movement, and it does go down and come back up,
mm-hmm.
but with movement, that can be so much more eloquently conveyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, when I wrote that piece, it was one of the few times in my life that I knew I was writing dance.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and I guess I see it as a piece for healing, you know?
Absolutely.
It's a piece that I think will be a classic, and it will be around. It will be there for when I think about my child and my grandchildren and you know, the continuation of generations.
Right.
I imagine it to be a piece that will continue to grow and develop.
My whole reason for writing it, truly to convey the spirit of it, of Mud in Your Eye, is that I did not want people to forget.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians want us to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I will not let that happen in as many ways as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid that from being forgotten.
So yes, I'm extremely excited about
Good.
That.
Me
so that's
too.
That's our next project once we finish this Saturday, November the 14th,
yes.
at the Carolina Theater. And
well, you can slip back into that realm. I just wanted to bring that up. I know David had a curiosity about
yes.
that. I think David has an interest in filming us on stage mm-hmm. when the time comes.
But so I would have to tell our happens. Listeners out there, as I'm sitting over here listening to these two interact, this is going to be something very powerful to watch, to see the two of you
I
work together
so.
It
on
was
stage
natural for us.
It was natural,
mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I was... The first time when I came on here, I was so surprised that I even talked for a whole hour. You know, already, I mean, we had so much to talk about.
We did.
I mean, it was just, our chemistry was wonderful.
And even before going on air, I think it was the last 10 minutes we were sitting here, I told her about this piece I'd written because I found out you were from New Orleans and
mm-hmm.
so on. And then I recited the whole piece from memory. And next thing she looked at me, goes, I want that.
Yeah.
Boom. It was decided then and there.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It came together very naturally. There was absolutely no
mm-hmm.
selling it. It sold
and it's
got to
be filmed.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It does. David?
Yes. He's got his thumb up, he heard. So back to you. Tell us a little more about the upcoming performance on November the 14th.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anyone wants to get information.
Tell us about the reception, for one thing.
Okay.
What people are in for there.
All right. Well, if anyone wants additional information, they can go to www.bellanarts.org. At 6 o'clock, we will host a gala. It will be hosted by Mayor William V. Bill Bell.
Her father, and this will be at the historic Carolina Theater?
Yes, and my mother, Mrs. Judith C. Bell.
Oh, good. Now I'm coming. I'll get to meet the whole family.
Yes,
perfect.
You do, and my tremendous board of directors, who, you know, all of those elements truly been a rock. And it will be an amazing experience. As I said, for us, Bellan starts on the pavement when you walk up to the building, and when you enter the doors, I mean, that's our world.
And that makes you walking in part of the act.
Yes, it does. And so look good.
There we go. That was a good one.
You never know.
So you could be filming the audience as well.
That's right. You never know. So
I guess that counts me out. I'm not going to have the tux yet.
Well, you don't need a tux, but you just should look.
No, I know.
You know, you just feel good about yourself when you go into the theater. And so
impress that honey you're with. Come on now.
Well, when you make yourself look good, you make yourself feel good.
Yes, you do.
Darling, you look beautiful.
Exactly. Yes,
marvelous.
You look marvelous. Yes.
Marvelous, darling.
You know, and it's so funny you say that, because that's why I find it so important to have those details, you know, because I get people telling me a lot, oh, Anjanae, you don't need the lighting. Oh, you don't need so much lighting. Oh, you don't need these, you know, and these are elements that, yes, maybe I don't.
That's not really for anybody else to decide,
yes,
is it?
And it's not, I feel like it's important because I see it. Even if no one else, I see it bigger than myself. And those small details are going to make Bellan truly a lasting legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do what I do. It comes with great sacrifice. It comes with asking other people to sacrifice, and being patient, but seeing this vision. And I know I'm doing it. I know that it's all worthwhile when people walk up and they're like, wow, what a top-notch event. And that's even before they get into the theater, before the performance has even begun. And that's when I know.
You're psyching them out ahead of
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Now, explain just a little bit of that. Obviously, this is at the reception and
yes,
the meeting and
well,
so on.
Well, it's, like
the
I
artists
said,
interacting with people.
Yes. And so we have something extremely, and I started in 2007 because I love to transform spaces. Mm. And although we're in the Carolina Theater, I want people to feel like they're in Bellan's world, and everything that makes us who we are as an arts organization. And so what that means is that when you come up to the theater, the experience really, and I'm not just being facetious, it really begins on the pavement. It mm-hmm. begins right before you walk through the doors. So that experience starts there when you walk in, and you're surrounded in ambient lighting and just the smallest details, the smells. I mean, your experience has begun and it's become enhanced, and you've grown a little. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, perhaps you didn't even expect something of that nature. Perhaps you didn't even know how important that was for your senses.
The fruit on the vine ripened just a little without you knowing
mm-hmm.
it.
And so I always said that I wanted to do what I did for the person that thought they had the least amount of artistic spirit and bones in their body. Because if I can affect those people, then I have made a mark. Because no matter what, sometimes we think that we don't appreciate or value certain things. Sometimes we think that we have all that we need. And only until we're immersed and given something, and I resist in saying a little bit better, but just a little something different mm-hmm. that pushes us in a positive direction, and positive in the sense that we've grown a little. even if the experience is that, you know what, I don't like the way that feels, but at least you've communicated and you felt something versus walking through life blind and senseless.
And it helps you find your joy.
Exactly. And so, you know, for what we do at Milan, it's about what I felt like theater in the classical era did. It allowed people to escape some of the gloom and doom that you can kind of see.
Very much so.
You know, you pick up
conquering
media.
Devils.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just so much of that. I mean, I am about beauty, grace, power, you know, making people just respond to life. And I mean, and I leave all the other stuff for everybody else to do.
As my friend Marcel Marceau told me so often, and I'm sure he was quoting somebody else, because it just seems that the statement is generic, spiritual, all those things. All movement is dance.
Mm-hmm. And it does. I mean,
Thank you, Marcel.
Because I do. You know, when I'm trying to really coach my dancers along and trying to give them things that they can hold on to, and I have to tell them, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and you shower or not, but whatever it is, you know.
Makes you think everybody does.
You know, and you put your clothes, and you choose what your costume is going to be mm-hmm. for the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you've made a conscious decision.
How are you presenting yourself to the world?
Presenting yourself to the world.
Life is a stage.
Life is a stage, and it is the truth. And if more people could hold on to that and understand that how we are seen and taken by everyone around us, it's how we project ourselves. And you have to make a decision of how you want people to remember you in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come to experience a Milan event, and that doesn't necessarily mean dance, but when people come to experience a Milan event, what I want them to remember is that, wow, that was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about one particular dance over the other, because even when I'm creating work, it's about the experience. You know, it's my, whatever I'm creating, yes, it's what I'm feeling and trying to express at the moment, but it's mine. It's my expression, and I'm giving it to the world. How that's interpreted.
And it's also reflective of all the influences by all the other people, the
yes.
situation, the circumstances
exactly.
that went into it. So it's not
yes.
just you alone.
It's not.
It's what you've encapsulated,
exactly.
what you're putting forth.
Uh-huh. And especially all of those wonderful tech people in the theater. Because
yes.
lighting,
we're so often not
you know,
appreciated.
Yes, but they are so critical. Sound, you know, lighting, rigging, that floor that we dance on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the people that make sure that the theater is clean. You know, the ones that greet in the very beginning and
yes.
hand out the program, you know, the box office.
House manager, stage manager, et cetera.
Exactly. I mean, they are all critical pieces of making sure that any event that's going to be successful, I mean, all of those details can't go unnoticed. And they can't go unnoticed. And I try to do my best to show appreciation to all, because I do. I understand that to do what we do when we get into the theater, it happens way before we get there. You know, and I've had to do backstage. When I was going to University of North Carolina at Greensboro, we had to do theater work. And that's not easy, running and doing gels and,
nothing easy
and lighting
about it. No.
And I mean, and then
it qualifies as work, people.
It does. But even, you know, in 2007, when I had to sit till 1 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out lights, I mean, that was exhausting. You know, on top of everything else, having to think about being on stage
mm-hmm.
and performing.
Oh Lord, yeah, it's
you know,
much.
And so I appreciate and value that skill, you know, because it's magic. It's the same thing that I do when I'm creating movement.
And knowing that everybody else has to do their part, so yours
mm-hmm.
can be magnified.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm excited. I hope that everyone who's listening to this, even even if they're not able to come, we'll at least go to the website, which is www.bellonarts.org, and at least take a look at what we do, in hopes that when we have our collaboration in May, that people will put us on their calendars as a must-do event.
And folks out there, this is Anjanae Bell speaking, yes, of Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre, mm-hmm, performance coming up this Saturday, starting with a reception, or you prefer to call it a...
The gala.
The gala, mm-hmm, at 6 p.m., and then the performance comes on at 8, I'm assuming.
Yes, it
so
does.
Anybody who's at all interested in dance, I highly recommend this. I'm going to be there myself. And on that note, I think we're going to cue in our next star, Rocco, who's going,
yes,
to give us a little education on WCOM. So, Rocco, can we call you to come in the building? And we'll I'm probably going to have to take the lapel mic off you. Pardon us for some technical goings-on here at WCOM. Audrey, if you want to announce the radio stuff, please feel free.
Okay. One of the things that I would announce is that WCOM is coming up soon with a fundraiser. We are your voice in the community. And if you want to continue hearing some of the great artists, performers, authors, musicians of all type that are local, this is a live, locally produced shows 24/7. We are on the internet. You can go to WCOMFM.org, and you can hear us round the clock. Anywhere you go on the planet,
absolutely,
you can take Carvero with you.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else on WCOM 103.5 FM. I want to give another big shout out to Anjanae Bell of Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre, coming up this Saturday at the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. Please take some time to go out there and catch this act. You're going to love it. You're going to be richer for it. Anjanae, thank you very much for being on. And now I'm going to introduce a friend of mine, one of my favorite people here, along with Audrey. Rocco, who has his own show on Saturday, Audrey introduced that a little earlier, and I'm going to let him speak plenty, but the whole idea behind having Rocco on is so that I can give these documentarians some footage on what WCOM is all about, because you go right back to the beginning. So, Rocco, the microphone is yours.
Well, Claudio, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on your show. It always is.
Wonderful.
We always
having
have a lot of fun, and you present such a great show here for WCOM and for our listeners. You do.
Thank you.
As you know, WCOM goes back about 6 years, actually 7 years, and we've been on the air now for, I believe, Audrey, what, 5.5 years?
Well, the first signal went out June or July of 2004, and that was an automated signal round the clock. I think our first live performer was Bob Burtman, Triangle Slim.
That's
and
right.
That was,
yes,
in November. So we are coming up now, right now, on our fifth anniversary,
long before
live
my time,
on the air performances.
I was
and
still in the banana boat doing pirate radio. Go ahead.
I was going to say then.
Ignore me.
No, you're just the host of the show. That's all.
That's it. Back to you. Go on.
Then Fred came on after Bob, and very shortly thereafter, I believe you started in January of 2005.
I did.
And he has never missed a show since. Every
we have
Saturday.
A lot of fun with the
pretty
show.
Pretty extraordinary. Uh-huh. I've missed quite a few myself already.
Well, I mean, that's 5 years coming up this January of never missing a Saturday morning. And as a result of that, more than half of the people within the listening audience depend on Rocco to let them know it's Saturday.
Well, you know, back in the early days, Audrey and Claudio, I used to go on sometimes on Saturday and sign off the air at noon, and no one would come on the air. We would run the Simeon until Tuesday, and
Simeon,
that's when
is syndicated broadcasting. People.
Exactly. Correct. That live feed that makes sure we don't have dead air.
That's
exactly
right. And Bob would come on Triangle Slim on Tuesdays, mm-hmm, from 7 until 10. So we really had an open schedule.
Right.
And the only people on the air were Fred, myself, and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And the station has grown so much since
those
early
days. Well,
now
we have
days.
Over 60 live programs.
We do.
We have our syndicated programming has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And
we receive wonderful hugs from the community, I know that.
Absolutely.
And Claudio, your show is one of the most popular shows. You have such a presence, and I remember the first time I heard it, I was driving around Carrboro, and I believe you had on, who's the big fellow with the rock and roll genre?
Oh, my God, he owns the American Music Museum in Thomasville. His name is Curtis Ingram.
Curtis, right.
Good Lord, he had a voice that had so much bass in it, it dwarfed me. It was bouncing off these walls.
I was listening to you, and I'm saying, who are these people now in the studio on the air? They sound so good, and the show is about rock and roll, and Curtis's, you know, life in it and how he has his museum.
He's
but anyway,
friends with people like Jimmy Buffett, Fleetwood
exactly.
Mac. They come and hang out at his house when they're performing in the area. So, you know, this guy was great to have on.
And
he likes my stuff, so I was very humble.
Well, you guys sounded so good on the air, and I had to stop in, and that's the first time I ever met you.
I remember that, and it was a great meeting. And then you and I ended up doing, we connected so well, we did shows together.
We did shows
for a
together.
Few weeks.
We did. We'll have to do some more.
Absolutely. That will happen.
Audrey, how many times have you heard Claudia over the years?
Well, since
many.
You started, of course.
I know.
I mean, it's
you mean
have
someone's
to listen
listening?
To that. Come on, you have to listen to that voice.
I know.
I mean, just that voice is absolutely
Claudio has a presence that
uh-huh.
he can deliver and narrate, and you cannot duplicate it. You have to have it.
And then
know?
He brings in such good people like Anjanae.
Absolutely.
Anjanae,
yes. I've
Delbert McClinton's
been very fortunate
son and the
Clay
band
McClinton,
and Clay.
Yes. And Delbert's going to call in next year.
So, Claudia,
next
you
week,
really had a lot.
Next year.
Who do you have coming next week?
Oh, next week we've got the director of the film I'm in, as well as his two children,
mm-hmm.
Roxana and John Clayton, and also the G.W. Pierce, he goes by, the musician-singer that does the soundtrack for the movie.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to be talking about all things the Rusty Bucket Kids Club, the new movie in which I'm the mystical navigator conductor.
Is planning to be a TV series, people.
Yes, it's going to be at the Apex Film Festival the 21st and 22nd of this month, and then they're going to sell television rights for, I think, half-hour episodes for TV.
Well, you know, Claudio, and Audrey, you realize that radio is theater.
Absolutely.
And a lot of our people do not. And we have to sound good on the air and be good on the air, or we will not have very many listeners. And what we do is actually theater on the air.
No
and
doubt.
Radio has always been that. And if you have shows that are not good, weak, whatever, you lose your listeners. And your show is, of course...
I'm going to put that clip on for you.
Your
Claudio's
show is
over
a,
there helping out with the mic clip for...
Have some technical...
But I was no good at all.
...difficulties. So Alan came and saved the day.
But you epitomize the radio theater here. You do.
Thank you, sir.
With your presence
and
the way you have your show organized.
I appreciate that.
Wouldn't you say that, Audrey?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I wasn't really expecting to have my horn tooted, but I really appreciate that. But
you have such a good show.
I would love to have you tell more about WCOM in general and your show.
Well, my show is about music and
wonderful music that goes all the way back to everything you can think about in the past, as well as is very updated currently as well.
Basically, I will play the best music from all eras and all genres. Now,
Rocco
I know
has a musical knowledge
that is
astounding.
He's a walking encyclopedia.
Absolutely.
Audrey, how would you describe my show?
How I would describe it is there is, I think I was saying this earlier, that in listening to your show, you begin to realize what an art there is to putting pieces of music together. It's not just throwing these things helter-skelter and jumping from this to that. Rocco weaves a thread and creates a mood for that suits everything.
Which is what he did on the few shows that we did together,
yeah.
And I absolutely loved it.
Well,
the
like
first time
I
heard him, it was a rainy day, and he was playing Thelonious. And I had to call him, because to me, Thelonious Monk plays between notes, and it was this little drizzly day like you want to walk between the raindrops, and I almost never call a radio show, but I had to call him up and say... This is perfect.
He knows how to reflect moods. He really
exactly.
does.
Exactly.
Well, the show, as you know, is about music, and it's mm-hmm. theater. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the air, I am not sounding like I am talking to you folks now. I mean, it's a show.
No, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I think, don't realize that about radio. And you can use the analogy with television news.
Mm-hmm.
If you have people doing the news every night... And they don't sound good, and the show doesn't look good, they're not going to be on the air. They're going to be taken off. And so you know, television, radio, dance, Angeli.
To reflect,
it's all theater.
To reflect on what you said, it's really theater in its purest form, because here you have literally your mind listening in as the naked stage, and everything that, that you are filled with image-wise and just things to listen to are coming at you, so the host has to give you a complete picture without there actually being any visible physical picture there at all. So it's theater in its truest form.
Exactly. The fellas filming this right now, taping this, David, they have to present it in a way that's good, mm-hmm. that'll be enjoyable, and people will like it, be interested, and communicate. If it's all over the place, then they're going to say, well, what kind of documentary or what kind of show is this? And it will not be good and won't be watched and listened to. So there's a tremendous amount of theater out there. And absolutely. Radio is very much, you know, a part of that. Getting back to the station was started to be a community radio station here for the people of Carrboro and Chapel Hill, to be an alternative sound radio station that people could tune into, sort of like radio the way it used to be, you know, live and local.
Right.
And radio,
you said the other day, is fun, fresh, live and local.
Exactly.
And not corporate. We don't have to kiss any tail.
Well, it's you're not getting canned stuff from some distant universe. It's
God, they
us.
Sound horribly boring for the most part.
I believe the founders of the station, Jacques Menache, Ruffin Slater, Peg Nolan, few others, I believe the station is now what they envisioned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, as you said, 60 different voices on the air continuously.
Right.
We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all volunteers. And this is what it's all about.
We have shows in Spanish. We have one of only two Chinese-English shows.
That's
Chinese
right.
Chinese-American
yes.
shows that's on the air on Friday mornings. The other one is a religious station that's in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But the one we have here, the China Hour, is unique. It might be
it
even on the whole East
show.
Coast. And it's a great, fun show to listen to.
That show, like some others here, could be on any station, anywhere, mm-hmm. anytime.
I agree.
It's a great show.
And I honestly think that what I see as truly the gift of WCOM that you won't find on other radio stations is the spontaneity of the material that you get, of what you're hearing. It's coming from the hearts and minds of the people giving it to you. It's not canned. It's not in a box. It's not corporately edited, and you know, you're not told how you can sing your song. We just get out there and do it.
Community
and it's
radio.
Something else that I get a little bit heavy and a little bit preachy, but saying the essence of a free society
absolutely.
Is freedom of speech.
And this is where you've got
and
it.
That's what drew me in here to make a donation to start with.
Same here.
Remember
here.
The first
exactly.
week you came here, Audrey, and Chris was our station manager.
Absolutely.
Another fellow
yeah.
who was
talk
one of the
founders
of the
show.
Yes,
Chris
yes.
Frank. Who was also in the Red Clay Ramblers.
Mm-hmm. He put me behind this board over here, and I said, live on the air, people, bear with me. I feel like somebody just put me in the cockpit of a jet plane and said, fly it.
Yes, I know.
Let's hope I don't crash.
Let me get this thing off the ground, then I'll just stay
yes.
up there.
So
we're getting
are
down to about
Rocco,
two
yeah.
or 3 minutes left. So.
Rocco, I'm actually going to let you bring the show to a wrap. I love the way you host. So I'm done talking. They've heard enough of me. So, folks, thank you for tuning in. I'm going to let Rocco give us a little more about WCOM and then wrap up the speakeasy. Thanks for tuning us in. And until next week, folks, here's Rocco.
This is WCOM 103.5 FM, community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Audrey?
Donate now.
Yes, we need to stay alive
on
the air.
We will be hitting your earwaves coming up starting November 21st with a second on-the-air fundraising that we've done and or will be doing. And we want to ensure people we are not going to hit you hard and heavy. We don't want to be like some other
donate
stations
you
that
can.
You might get absolutely that's sick right. to death of hearing them.
And Audrey, your show, BookBeat,
mm-hmm.
why don't you tell the listeners
yeah.
who you have coming
yeah.
up on Monday?
Yeah, well, I think I already told them about Bill
Good
Ferris
so
coming in. Yeah, give my poor heart ease. So don't forget your community radio station. Be a member. Join us in this family in supporting free speech.
Absolutely. Don't forget
okay.
that.
Thank you.
And Rocco, take us out.
You're listening to Community Radio, WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro.